hurts you can understand and accept. And you know, God, we serve an awesome God.
Amen.
And He knows what He's doing. You know, all He asks us to do is just to witness to others what He done for us. And that's about as simple as it gets. So let's bow together. I want to read, let me read to you first, James chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, then we'll pray. James 4, 11 and 12. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who's able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pause right now. We thank you so much for the word. We thank you now, Lord, that we can come and come on behalf of this young lady. We come on behalf of Brother Brett, Lord, just give him the words and help him to just do what it is that you want him to say and do. And Lord, help her to be able to understand and accept what she's being told. Lord, thank you for your Spirit who, when we don't know what to do, helps us. So Lord, we need that tonight too. So Lord, we just ask as we worship here together, help us to understand these two verses. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. These are probably two of the toughest verses out of all the book of James. James has dealt with a lot of things. I'll remind you one more time who he's talking to. He's talking to Christians who are living in a world where Christians are being persecuted. They have been scattered. They have been moved away from where they normally lived. And now they're there doing the Lord's work, trying to survive, trying to just make it in the world. And James, right in the middle of all this letter, he tells them to be careful how you speak to each other. Can I ask you a question before I go into this in detail for a few moments? Why would James talk to them about speaking evil of one to another at a time like this? Okay. Why would they get disgruntled, Dub?
Well, you get to dabbling in sin and you get to thinking about another way to serve God.
Okay. You're right on the right trail with me tonight. I think there's two things I want you to think about tonight. First of all, sin. When you have unconfessed sin in your life, it begins to control your life.
Amen.
And being around preaching and then all of a sudden not around preaching, it makes conviction a little different. And all of a sudden the sin that you're doing, you feel like you're okay. And there's no preacher preaching against that. And they're probably not, they don't have a Bible like you and I've got. You got to remember that. Okay? This letter is going to come from James. You and I, it's going to be part of the Word of God. We're reading it right here. But it's going to come in the form of a letter, you know? And this letter is going to be from James, but this is going to be the first physical thing that they can read and actually get a hold of. And these people are living in a world where there's sin and there's a devil. He's shaking the keys at them. Right? I look for these today. Here they are still. But the devil's shaking the keys, you know, and all kinds of craziness is going on. And if you have unconfessed sin in your life, it'll cause you to be a person who's very judgmental.
Yeah.
Now, look what he says. Let's just look at it in particular. And I'm going to show you the second one in closing. The first one he talks about, he says, speak not evil one to another. I kind of did just a little research because I didn't understand how he asked that question. But here is actually, when you read this in original language, it is saying, quit speaking evil. They're already doing this. He's heard from other people that they're doing this, that they're bickering among one another. You know, when God's blessing the church, the devil hates that. So the way he wants to do it, he wants to cause disunity. And how you make disunity is you start speaking evil against each other. You know, that Shannon Blanton, she's just horrible. You know, Shannon, if somebody says that around me, I'm punching them. Because I've known her since she's a little kid. And she's always been a good person. So don't say nothing about Shannon. Now, if you want to talk about Jim, go ahead. Amen. I'm going to leave you alone on that. But listen, James has heard word that these people are bickering and talking about one another. And James says, quit. You need to quit it. So when you read this, he's really talking to them in that tone that you need to quit this. He said, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother, speak evil of the law. Now I got thinking about this. James talked about the law earlier in our readings. Who remembers? Anybody remember where? Look backwards to chapter 2, verse 8. Who remember what he called it? The royal law. Right? Go to verse 8. Chapter 2 of James. If you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. So James is talking to them about this law. And the law he's talking about was really the Ten Commandments all rolled up into one or two. And that was love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your might, and your neighbor as yourself. If you want to read it later, Mark chapter 12, verse 31 will give you a good place to read. And this is Jesus taking the ten, making them two. He says, do these two, you'll do well. James says, it's the royal law. Why is it the royal law? Because it came from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That makes it royal law. Okay? So he gives that. And now James says in verse 11, whoever speaks evil is speaking evil of the law. And judges the law. What does it mean to judge the law? What does it mean to judge the law? That means to say that you know really what God meant. One of the worst things you'll ever do is read the Bible and then translate it into your words and say, I think this is what God meant. What did he mean when he said, love your neighbor as yourself? What did he really mean? Okay? I think it's deeper than that. Let me say it this way. I think you and I are to love our neighbor like Christ loved us. That's what I think. So he says, when you translate this, and you begin to speak evil against Jim or against Wanda or whoever you're speaking evil against, he said, you have changed the law. You've judged the law. You've changed the law. You know, we can't do that. Now, let me tell you when you do that kind of thing. You do that kind of thing two times in your life, I think. The first one is this. When you have unconfessed sin in your life, you become a little arrogant. And when you become arrogant, you begin to look at people and find their fault. Because while you're not seeing your fault, you can see WC's fault. And all of a sudden, you begin to judge WC on his faults. If you've got unconfessed sin in your life, you'll find yourself judging other people.
Yeah.
That's a promise. Here's a second time. I think this might fit these people even better. I think when you are physically not well, you're tired, you're sick, you've got that kind of thing going on in your life, and you haven't been comforted from God during that time of illness or sickness, you begin to find yourself being short with people. Y'all tell me the truth tonight. How many of you, when you don't feel well, are shorter with people than when you feel well?
Sure.
You're doing this and I feel like this, and you're saying that, you find yourself to be more judgmental during that time. Think about how these Christians were feeling. These Christians were just enjoying church like you all are. Everything going well, people being saved. Next thing you know, people are dying. And they're being chased around. And they're being chased away. And they hadn't found that comfort. I think, and I'm going to talk to you more about that in a second. God is the God of all comfort, right? He's the one that can help you in that time. But a lot of times, we're not seeking Him. We're trying to run, and we're trying to find the help. And James talked about that. James has kindly led us up to these two verses. And he's telling us, when we find ourselves really either out of the will of God because of sin, or out of fellowship, so to speak, because of illness or other things, then we're going to find ourselves being short with each other. Now James says in this verse 11 and conclude 11, look what he said. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. What does James talk more about than anything else? Being a doer of the word. He said, don't talk about doing the word, and don't let everybody know that you're the doer of the word. Just do the word. He said, then they will see. Because if you don't do the word, you don't have a faith that is alive. You have a dead faith. And he said a dead faith was what? It's no good. It's no benefit. This has to be real. So he moves on to verse 12, and he just kind of nails it. You ready? He said, there is one lawgiver who's able to save and destroy.
Yeah.
And he gave that little indication at the end of the part of that sentence. It says, just wait there for a minute. Pause for a minute. Who is the lawgiver who's able to save and destroy? Who in here can judge besides God? And realistically what he's saying is, you judge Karen Correll the way God judges you. That's what he said to do. You judge Karen the way God judges you. How does God judge you, Jim? What's he condemn you of? Does he forgive you? What did he say to the woman that was caught in adultery? Woman, where's thine accusers? What did she say, Mike? There's none. What did he say? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. When we find ourselves judging and condemning, then we find ourselves becoming and being and making ourselves God. And God said, there's only one of me. You don't have that job. You don't have that right. You do to them as I do to you. Forgive them. Love them. Now, I can tell you this. That's not an easy thing to do. But it's impossible to do if you have sin in your life. That was from God, I guess. I thought I'd turn that off. I'll do it now. If we have unconfessed sin in our life, you will find yourself a judgmental person. Talking about them, saying things about them. Now, I have to say a Facebook statement now, okay? 20 years ago, if Wanda Meese made you mad, You went home and stewed on that. And you probably ended up praying about that. And more than likely, Joe, you got over that before next church service.
Yeah.
But now you go home and you click on Facebook. And their picture pops up. And now you have to say something. And I think the proper terminology, even though I don't have one, is post it. Am I right? I post it. How many people post things that if they'd had 2 or 3 days to think about it, probably wouldn't have posted it?
Sure.
Too late. It's out there. Passing around to everybody. Evil speaking. I didn't write this, folks. This is God wrote this.
Amen.
God said, y'all ready? He said, who art thou that judgest another? You know what he said in plain simple English? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to say that? Now, I got to put this to the nitty gritty right on the line, okay? If Jim is part of the bride of Christ, he's part of the body of Christ. If I speak against the body of Christ, I can only expect that the head of the body sooner or later is going to come down on me.
Yeah.
Y'all know who the head of the body is? It's Jesus.
Amen.
Let me tell you the second part. You say, preacher, I don't have no unconfessed sin. And I might believe that. Because my short words that come from me are not normally from unconfessed sin. Believe it or not, if anybody knows you're a sinner, you're looking at the guy. I try to make it right every day of my life when I get up, halfway through the day, and before I go to bed at night, because of the blunders that I make in my life, because there's no doubt in my mind, there's no doubt in the way I live, that I'm a sinner. I don't have a problem there. But sometimes, when you are not feeling well, and you're not in the right mind because you don't feel well, you say the wrong thing. You say it with the wrong tongue. That's wrong. I don't care that you don't feel well. You can't say it. Now, I got to read this to you because I read this to myself this afternoon. Go to the book of 2 Corinthians. I wrote down in my Bible this afternoon this. Consoled suffering. What do I mean by unconsoled? Who knows what it means to console someone? What does that mean?
Go sympathize.
Okay. Comfort. Sympathize. Who, when you're not feeling well, who here likes comfort and to be sympathized with? I'm just curious. What happens if you don't get that?
You could have a kiddie party.
And it's true. It is very true. You know, we have so segregated ourselves in our society with our privacy fences and our blinds on our windows, and we don't fellowship together. Most people really don't understand what all is going on in your life. You get something through the prayer chain and, well, I'll pray for that. But you know, sometimes you want more than prayer.
Sure.
But let me show you more importantly than Jim coming to my house and consoling me. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's where I wanted to clue it with you tonight. And hopefully we can see together There's only two reasons why we're short and we have an evil tongue. It's because we've got unconfessed sins, or we are needing consoled and we haven't been consoled, and because of that, we're ill. We're ill. We're mean. Taylor Swift wrote a song, "Why You Gotta Be So Mean?" We're mean. We can be the meanest people in the world right here. Church people can be the meanest people in the world. And James says it shouldn't be. And God says, who you think you are talking like that? To one of mine. See, Jim, they're God's. They're God's children. If you got hateful to Vanessa, I'll kick you in the shin. That's my girl. Don't be hateful to my... You ever think about this? When we talk about a brother or sister evil, listen, it doesn't matter what they've done. We have not the right. We don't have... God says, who do you think you are? You can't do that. This is how Paul dealt with it in chapter 12, 2 Corinthians. I believe, and I'm going to read why I believe that. I believe Paul had a difficult time dealing with the physical element. I know we want to put Paul up on a pedestal, but let me bring him down off the pedestal for a minute. He was a human just like you or I am. He got frustrated. He sinned. Come on. Paul, the apostle, sinned. He wasn't sinless. Read verse 7 with me. I'll show you why I think what I think. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there is given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Did you notice what he mentioned twice? What he mentioned twice? Paul's trying to be humble. But sometimes when you're going through a tough time in your life, humility's not easy. And he mentioned it twice. He said, this is for a purpose. Lest I should be exalted above measure. See, when you're proudful, then you're going to have a sharp tongue. If you're humble, Mike, you don't have a sharp tongue. Because you realize, you feel like you ain't got nothing to say to nobody because you're nobody. Does that make sense? If you realize, if you put yourself where we really are, and here's Jesus, where are you at? Here's Jesus, where are you at? Okay, once you get there, then how I feel about Wayne Ray, I probably won't say one thing. Because I just had a scale measurement here, me and him, me and Jesus, and I don't really need to say nothing about Wayne. Because boy, we got a lot of problem right here with Steve and Jesus. Don't measure up, Peggy. But Paul had an infirmity, and what did he say about the infirmity? Y'all like it? He said the messenger of Satan. You ever feel like it's just Satan right in the middle of your life?
Yeah.
Boy, I do sometimes. I've had a couple of bad days this week, and it's only Wednesday. And I'm like, you know, God, I'm tired. I'm tired. Look what he said. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, and it may depart from me. Who here has ever asked God to take something away? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Like for real. Lord, I mean, I really mean this. Would you please, would you really just take this away? I think it's something you really need to do. It's not a sin to ask God to take something away. What it'll do is cause you to get closer to your God. And then he said it this way. He said unto me, My Bible has red letters here. And I think it's the Lord speaking. Somehow, some way, Paul got this from God. That God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Amen.
Let me ask y'all a question. Do you think that God was consoling Paul? I do. And I can tell you this, Anita. After I do my pity party thing and I finally talk to God about it, and God consoles me and says, Steve, it's okay, then I'm all right. I don't need Jim to come and tell me anything. Because really, I need the counsel. I need consoling from God. He is the great physician. He is the great counselor. He's the one that'll give me what I need. You read all through your Bible, when men were in down, despair, trouble, it wasn't the people that came to them, it was God. Elijah was sitting under a tree. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in a fiery furnace. Y'all with me? Stephen was the receiving rock, pelted. I don't see the church all standing around fighting anybody. They'd probably run for their lives. But when Stephen was taking the stones, who consoled him? He looked right up, did he not? It wasn't Calvin either, sitting right there. It was the Lord. And when Paul had a breakdown in his life, God said, my grace is sufficient for thee.
Amen, that's right.
Now look what Paul says after that. I'll tell you how I know he got consoled. He didn't speak evil against Mark or Pilate, or any of the rulers, or any of the people that held him bondage. Here's what Paul did when he got consoled from God. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Amen.
Instead of being sharp-tongued, what did he do? He had a good attitude. Because he had that consolation from God that, Paul, I got you covered. You're going to be all right. And I can tell all of you this. I have more trouble in that realm because I don't talk to God about the infirmities. Your infirmity might not be a physical infirmity. It may be a financial infirmity. But he's also the richest God in the world.
Amen.
So if you got financial troubles, talk to God. People that have financial troubles, if they're not being consoled, are hateful people.
Mm-hmm.
Ask Brian. He works at the bank. And Luke works at the bank. Brian, anybody ever get hateful at the bank?
Once.
Was it over money? Was it over the lack of money? And the world ain't fair? Am I on target? The bank ain't fair. Somebody's not fair. That's the world. And God says, listen, brothers and sisters, don't judge one another. Don't speak evil of one another. What gives you that right? Nothing. You and I don't have that right. Yeah, but preacher so-and-so, I know what so-and-so did. God will take care of that.
Yeah.
I don't have to say anything about that. But how easy is it to say something? Raise your hand. I'm not even going to ask y'all to come to the altar because we all need to come. We've all got an evil tongue sometimes. Come on. We do. God said, it ought not to be so. I closed my Bible too quick, but I got to read you a verse right there. Same chapter. We read it Sunday. I think it fits today with this one in closing. Verse 10. Y'all there? Let's go ahead and stand. Verse 10. Chapter 4. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. What does it mean to humble yourselves? Anybody humble yourself? Drop the pedestal.
Realize
who you are. Anybody else? I think when you humble yourself, you acknowledge somebody higher than you are.
You realize who God is.
You do. And you acknowledge that. Lord, I realize something here. My physical pain, my sicknesses that I go through in my life are not coming to me without passing through your hands first. And I know that. And God, what you got for me, I don't want it. But if you want me to have it, I trust you. You're God, I'm not. What did he say? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And what did he say?
He'll lift you up.
Y'all need to lift up? It's Wednesday. Everybody good? Does anybody need to lift up? Here's what he's saying. Instead of talking about item A, I'm going to kick you in the shin for that too. He said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Just get in front of God for a while. Talk to Him about what's going on. And He'll lift you up. That's what we need tonight. We need to lift from God. That's a lift of the Lord. That's a lift of the last. Tickles me, all these people getting facelifts. You know, they just keep tucking and pulling. You know what? They'll never lift it far enough. It's going to come again. If you get a lift from God, it's a real lift.
Amen.
It's not cosmetic. It's real. And what we need this day and time is a lift from God. Find yourself speaking evil against someone that you need to take a long look and say, you know what? There's something wrong here. I shouldn't be saying that. That's what God said. But if you are, you shouldn't be. And you need to figure it out. Is it unconfessed sin? Or do you need some consolation from God tonight? Whatever it is, you're the only one who can fix that between you and God. That's why you have invitation. You may not want to do it here. You may want to do it when you get home tonight. But I'm going to tell you this. The best lift you'll get tonight will be humbling yourself in front of God. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for this service. Thank you for opportunities that you give us. We pray now, Lord, that this time of invitation would be a time that if we need to do anything, we would. Lord, show us what we need to do. Lord, I pray for those tonight that may have other needs in their lives that they don't want to come forward with. Lord, they need help tonight. Lord, I pray you'll help them. Lord, I just pray now, if you'll watch over us through this night, help us, Lord, in the way that only you can. In Christ's name, amen.